In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Glory to Jesus Christ. So, I read something interesting this week, one of these things that shared on the social networks, and it was a little documentary film. It was called They Gather Here No More, and it was actually kind of sad, very short, but it told the story of a church that had closed after 77 years. It was an Orthodox church in Terre Haute, Indiana, a St. Andrew's, I believe, Romanian Orthodox church, and it told their story. They were founded in 1918, you know, just a few years after our church, St. George here in Cedar Rapids, and how they grew and how at their peak, you know, they had 200 faithful people on a Sunday. They had 30, 40 young children in the youth programs in the Sunday school. But then over time, they couldn't maintain that. It was just sad to hear, you know, Terre Haute, Indiana, a town like that, and then some of the people they talked to, they interviewed people from that community, and they said, oh, we loved the church, it was so dear to us. But none of the young people stayed. You know, they'd grow up, they'd go away to college, they'd get jobs. They didn't come back to Terre Haute. And I'm presuming this, maybe they didn't marry in the church, they didn't stay. The young people didn't have the fire and the love of the church to sustain it. So after 77 years, I think it was 1985, they closed their doors, finally. Nothing but love by the people who were a part of it, but not the energy or the fire or the thing that it takes to keep the doors open of the church. Very sad. Very heartbreaking. I was so sad to hear that. You hate to hear of any church closing. And then, of course, I thought about our community, and I thought, you know, where will we be in 100 years or 50 years? And you know, there's no easy answers to that question. Because today we face some of the toughest challenges, probably tougher. Now this was 30 years ago that this church closed in Terre Haute. 30 years ago. And the young people couldn't stay. Think of life today. How many demands are put on us. How much competition there is for our love and our dedication to church life. You know, there's always something else we have to do, and sometimes church becomes the thing we do when it's convenient. Right? Think about that. It's worse now than it was 30 years ago. So a story like that should make us grieve, first of all, and then seriously contemplate and pray. Oh Lord, who will fill our churches in 50 years? I've been asked that question too. You know, what's the church going to look like in 30, 40, 50, 100 years? What's the makeup going to be? I have faith. I'm optimistic. My wife, Kuri Michelle, we go back to St. Demetrius in Saco, Maine. That's a Greek Orthodox church. And she grew up in that church. She goes back today, and it's filled. But she says, none of the people that I knew growing up were there. All the old families disappeared. You know, they're just not there. And there's all these new people. There's different people. And glory to God, it's filled. So I always think about the gospel of the king who gives a banquet, right? I think that pertains to this situation or any situation of who's in the church and who's faithful. Think about that parable. The king gives a banquet and the people that he invites don't come. They make excuses. And they sound like good excuses. I'm getting married. I can't come. I bought land. I have to go look at it. My father died. Can I go bury my father? They can't come to the banquet. So what does the king say? Okay, we're going to cancel the banquet. We're going to close the doors. No, he sends his servant out and he says, you find people. Go out into the highways and byways and you find the lame, the sick, the broken, the poor, half dead by the side of the road, and you bring them. My banquet will be filled. See, that parable is about God, and it's about the church and about his kingdom. God's house will be filled, beloved in Christ. The question is, are we going to be there? Are our children going to be there? So I think about these things, and I see a documentary like that. I see what, how they're talking about this poor little St. Andrew's Church, and it hurts. Sometimes I'm afraid for our future, but I always say, God will provide, you know? So we might have to think about that and say, what are we going to do to allow God to provide? I'm optimistic, but I just can't sit on my hands and say, oh well, God will take care of it. I have to do something. We all have to do something. Last night at Vespers, we had our Team Soyo retreat was still going on. And I got chills during Vespers. I have to share this with you because it felt like being at camp. Anybody ever been to the camps, the Antiochian Village, Camp St. George? It gave me chills because it reminded me of camp. And at camp, you go into the chapel there, and the responses are done not by a choir of 20, 30 people, 250 voices. You know, the Lord have mercies, the alleluias, the amens. And it's so beautiful to hear the voice of people who are singing praises to God as one and a multitude. It wasn't 250 last night, but it kind of felt like it, you know, in spirit. So I thought of that, and I thought of our camping programs, and I thought if anything is going to work to help our young people, the future of the church, love God, and be committed to this life of worship, Orthodox worship, I think it's the camping programs. Or at the very least, the mentality and the spirit of them. There's an expression that they like to use, you know, you go to the village or any of the camps, and the kids get filled with this kind of fire. They love their faith, and they're excited about it. They come home and they want to go to church. And they ask mom and dad, how come we don't go to Vespers? You know, isn't there a Saturday service? Is there a midweek service? How come we don't do that? We did it at camp. But then sometimes that wears off after they come home. So they encourage the kids, take the village home. What you learn there, bring into your parish communities and make it work there. Take some of that fire, some of that fervor for the faith, and bring it to your home parishes. So that's what we say. I feel like last night at Vespers, our retreat brought a little bit of that village home here to St. George and Cedar Rapids, and we're blessed for that. My experience at Antiochian Village happened as an adult. I didn't go as a child. I was on break from one semester of seminary. It was two years in a row, but I went for the first time. And if you've never experienced it, it's really hard to describe in words, you know. Camp is church all the time. It's faith all the time. It's a love of God and a love of other people all the time. It's the gospel all the time. Full time, without any breaks or distractions. Now, it sounds like we're standing in the chapel all day, or in a Bible study, or we're in prayer all the time, and that's not always the case. Camp is fun. You know, the kids play, they eat together, they sing songs, they do creative things, there's lots of sports. A lot of things go on other than just churchy things. But the main thing is giving the kids an experience of their faith, an undiluted, unadulterated experience of Orthodox faith 24 hours a day for the full week or 2 weeks that they're there. It's full. You see, in our daily lives, we have distractions. We go to school. We're with people who don't believe. We're taught by people who may not believe. Right? We get into cars. We go here. We go there. We don't pray. We skip services. Right? We may not pray before meals. Camp is full time. It's full immersion in the faith. And it works because you're there and that's all you're doing. So I thought about that when I saw that film, you know, They Gather Here No More, and I thought, wow, thank God for the camps. Thank God for the camping programs, and thank God for the opportunity to teach that to our children. It's so wonderful to have a faith that's rich like ours. You know, we have the fullness, we're lacking nothing. But what are we doing about it? How are we going to share that with other people? Sometimes I think about that too, and I'm sad. Because maybe we don't do enough. You know what? I'll share a confession with you. I meet some people from the community outside of the church, you know, and invariably when they hear St. George, they say, "Oh, St. George. I've been there. That's the church." And I have to confess this, I cringe. Because they say, "That's the church with the great dinners. That's the church that makes that great food. And I've been there. And I went to one of your festivals." That's me personally. I cringe. Because then, you know, I wonder, did you go in the church? Or were you just eating food? Is that what we're known for? Maybe that's part of it. And food is wonderful. But it's a gateway, right? That hall, the Michael G. Nassif Center, if people have only been in there, it's a gateway to the church, the sanctuary, where God is present, and where we worship Christ as the living God in the Divine Liturgy. Have you ever been in here? Have you ever heard the prayers? Have you ever witnessed the liturgy? Have you ever seen heaven? I want to ask. He ain't seen nothing yet. The fataya and the cabbage rolls are wonderful. But in here is heaven. So I struggle with that. Maybe it's work. It's a progression. Maybe it takes time. Like I said, it's a gateway. But beloved in Christ, let's think about that. What are we doing to show people Jesus? What are we doing to take our faith and bring it to the world? That's really the reason that St. Andrew's in Terre Haute closed its doors. Maybe the people who had that fire passed away. Maybe the children never learned it or didn't take it. Because the young people who had the ability to go out into the world and keep that church going failed for whatever reason. I pray for us and I pray for our future. I pray for the future of the Orthodox faith in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. In the Midwest, in the United States, in the North America, in the whole world, we pray for that. You know, I hate to hear about churches closing. Orthodox churches, that just shouldn't happen. You know, our numbers should be growing. And they are. You know, this Terre Haute example is not totally isolated. There were a few more that they gave, but these things do happen. I mentioned the camps today because I was very inspired by our Teen Soil retreat, by our Sunday School Lazarus Saturday retreat, and I just want to ask us to support things like that. Support your children, support the camps, send your children to camp if they've never been, let them experience their faith full-time, undiluted, unmingled with any other distractions. Let them immerse themselves in it, because if they taste that, there's a very good chance that they'll come home and they won't lose it. You know, once they've tasted it, you know, not stirred, not mixed. Because sometimes our lives are always mixed. And there's distractions. There's other things we have to get done. Let them taste it pure and undiluted. And they may never lose it. That should be our prayer as a community. One more thing. I love the gospel today. If you were at Matins, you heard this, because the Matthew's version of the Palm Sunday entrance of Jerusalem, the Pharisees become indignant. You know what happens? Everybody's screaming, "Hosanna in the highest." The children are bringing palms and branches, and they're laying them on the road, and they're singing these praises to Jesus. "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And the Pharisees, the church leaders, say, "Make them stop. Do you hear what they're saying?" They tell Jesus, "They're making too much noise. Do something about it." So what does the Lord say, right? Yeah, make them stop. Get them out of here. Let them go play, right? No. He says, "Don't you know the scriptures? You're Pharisees, you should know the scriptures. God says, out of the mouths of babes and children's, infants and sucklings, thou hast ordained perfect praise." See, God appreciates and loves and listens to the praise when it comes pure and undiluted from the heart, like a child. So I mention that today because we're in here, it's kind of crowded, we've got palms, there are lots of little children. Let's remember to teach our children that they belong here. You know, another thing I cringe at is when people say, I don't bring my children because, you know, I can't control them. They make noise, they run here and there. They're not ready for church. If they're not ready when they're born, I don't know how you're going to make them ready when they're older. I hate to say that. You know? Raise your children in the church. Bring them from day one. Let them experience the fullness. We hold nothing back. The children get everything. They get the baptism, the chrismation, the life-giving body and blood of Jesus all at once. They're full members of the church. They share in everything we share in. So let's fulfill that, beloved in Christ. And let's think about how we can share our faith with the community, the Cedar Rapids community. You know, first, how do we share that love of Jesus Christ? We have the kingdom. How do we show that to our neighbor who is not here today? Think about that. Pray for our youth. Pray for our church community. Support the programs that teach them. And support their efforts to stay connected to the Holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, the one faith, the one true faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.